America's biggest Labor Day party is back with the loudest lineup yet. This August 30th through September 1st in Pryor, Oklahoma, with, for the first time ever, Avenged Sevenfold, Slipknot, Disturbed, Evanescence, plus A Day to Remember, Lamb of God, Hailstorm, Mastodon, Anthrax, Skillet, Clutch, Nothing More, Kerry King Band, Cold Chamber, Bad Flower, Pop Evil, and many more. Passes and camping on sale now at rocklahoma.com starting at $10 down. Don't miss the best camping and the biggest rock party. Rocklahoma, life, liberty, and the pursuit of rock.
What's up, everybody? It's John Bush from Armored Saints sitting here in Tulsa, Oklahoma. You are on the road to rock.
Hi, everyone. This is Eric Martin, the lead singer for the band Mr. Big, and you are on the road to rock with Clint Switzer.
Thank you so much, man. I love talking about the things that I love, Clint, and for you to allow me to do it with you. God bless you. God bless the Heartland. God bless America.
You are now on the road to rock. It's not just a podcast. It's an unabashed celebration of rock's living legends. And now, please welcome your host, the master of your rock and roll road trip, Clint Switzer.
If you are on the road to rock, that means you're in the right place and your money stays and plays with us right here. Thank you so much for being here, for being a part of the show as we continue on into the spring and summer months. And there's something about it that just, I don't know, puts a little pep in my step. I just walk out of the house with a smile on my face. The weather's great. It's going to be a great summer of live music, of rock and roll, of fun with the friends, trips to the lake, road trips with the family, you name it. That's what the summer's all about, and we're here in April. I am coming to you here from Fort Lauderdale, Florida, Pier 66, the Four Seasons for SFC's The Catch. Here covering it, there's several NFL players taking part in this sport fishing championship, the Catch Fishing Tournament. Check it out on Saturday. You know, with my website, Starcade Media, I do a lot of sports as well, always on the road, always covering events. So great to be here with NFL players like Quinnen Williams, Jeffrey Simmons, Alvin Kamara, Jalen Carter, many more. And they're going to be out on the high seas going for that big record billfish. Check it out on CBS Sports. It's on Saturday. And so, great to be bringing you a show here from the road, which I have to do from time to time. It's great to be back on track and doing some more consistent shows here. I know we had a slow start to 2024 as I was kind of on the road covering the Super Bowls. The Chiefs won their third Super Bowl in five seasons. And now here we are into the spring. Things are just going tremendously. And on this week's show, extremely excited to bring back Babylon AD frontman Derek Davis. He's going to be coming on to talk about the band's upcoming release, Rome Wasn't Built in a Day, 11 new tracks. It's released on May 11th, so go to parisrecords.com/Babylon AD right now. You can pre-order it, and I think it's just tremendous. There is a song on this album, man, that just hits like classic Babylon AD. It's a song called Wrecking Machine. The whole album's really good, but I love that song. And frontman Derek Davis coming on, gosh, for the first time in about, gosh, 7 or 8 years, the first time we've ever done it. The video's available on our YouTube channel, Starcade Media, if you want to check out the video format. And if you are watching on the video, hello to you as well. Thank you for subscribing, and thank you for being a part of what we do. The audio version as well, of course, is available on Apple and Spotify. All the rest of the like podcast apps like going away. I don't know. I just tell people, Apple, Spotify, we're there. Don't worry about anything else. Subscribe to us there on the Road to Rock, and of course our website, StarcadeMedia.com. I just did a review of Jeff Tate's live show in Kansas City from last week, so be sure you go check out the website too, StarcadeMedia.com. And for this interview, I mean, I'm such a fan of Babylon AD. They're one of those bands that when I started to become familiar with the Motley Crues, the Def Leppards, the Poisons, the Rats of the world from the 80s, and I knew that it was like my foundation for what I loved in music and that melodic hard rock and that era. Then I started to dig a little deeper and found, you know, bands like, you know, Firehouse or Wildside, you know, or Taiketto, Babylon AD is one of those bands. Their debut album, the self-titled Babylon AD in 1989, got those songs like Bango the Bells, Hammer Swings Down, Cut Up in the Crossfire, Desperate, and The Kid Goes Wild, my favorite, one of my favorite songs of the entire era, and it was in the movie RoboCop 2 in 1990. All My World's Colliding, Babylon AD, tremendous and underrated. Their first two albums, Babylon AD and Nothing Sacred, were, if you're a fan of 80s melodic hard rock, go check those albums out. And to know that they're still doing new music and they're doing shows this summer, including a stop at the Whiskey A Go-Go on June 7th, 2024, go to their website, BabylonAD.com. Check out the tour dates. Check out Babylon AD when they're in your area. So excited to be talking with Derek again about new music for the band, about their legacy, plans going forward. It's going to be tremendous. So before we get to that interview, you know, you heard the ad at the very beginning of the show, Rocklahoma. Well, you know Rocklahoma's going on in Pryor, Oklahoma. It's Labor Day weekend, and it's going to be the party of the summer with the biggest lineup yet. And if you want to win tickets, go to our Facebook page, On the Road to Rock. There, pinned to the top of the page, there is a post where you can go ahead and comment on that post, and you can enter to win two weekend passes for Rocklahoma, Labor Day weekend, the party of the summer. Bands like Avenged Sevenfold, Evanescence, Hailstorm, Skillet, A Day to Remember, Disturbed, Slipknot, Lamb of God, Mastodon, and that doesn't even, you know, scratch the surface. You got bands like Anthrax, Nothing More, Kerry King, Tom Kiefer from Cinderella, Winger, Faster Pussycat, Vixen, and many more. Go to rocklahoma.com where you can get your weekend passes, and you can go to On the Road to Rock Facebook page to enter to win two passes for Rocklahoma, courtesy of our good friends at Rocklahoma and hear us on the road to rock. Without further ado, it's time to go to this week's interview. It is with none other than Babylon AD frontman, Derek Davis. Derek, yeah. I didn't think about this. I wore my Chiefs Dynasty shirt here. I don't know. Are you a 49ers fan? Is this going to be doomed from the start?
I'm a Raiders fan, but I like the 49ers too. It's Raiders, then 49ers.
So you just hate me, basically, no matter what. You hate this.
No, I don't hate the 49ers at all.
The Chiefs, I mean, I'm in Kansas City. We just, you know, back-to-back Super Bowls here.
I like Kansas City too.
Well, then we'll just get along just fine.
Yeah.
I mean, I never thought in my life, you know, I grew up in the 90s where, you know, the 80s, the 49ers won all of them, and now the Chiefs, out of nowhere, yeah. It's been great, man. How have you been? You look great.
Thank you. Yeah, you look good too, man.
Well, you know, I just turned 40 a few weeks ago, so.
Okay, cool.
The new album's great. The last time we had you on was, gosh, it was back in the, like, you just call in and do an interview days. It's been a long time. Yeah. Welcome back to On the Road to Rock. This is so exciting because the new Babylon AD album, which I've been listening to all day. It's called Rome Wasn't Built in a Day. It's out May 17th. Man, the excitement here. You can get a pre-order right now through Paris Records. The excitement right now, as you're getting ready to put this out, it's got to be an all-time high, especially because you guys just released a new video today for the song Wrecking Machine, which is an awesome video.
Yeah, thanks. It is pretty much the high right now because, you know, we worked so hard for about a year on the album and then recording for about 5 or 6 months since October. We recorded till last month, October till what's that, till March, early March. And then we sent it off for mastering and everything and we got it back about, you know, 3 weeks ago, about a month ago. And it's good for me too because, you know, I finally feel like us, mission accomplished on that part, at least, you know, getting all the songs together and the writing and the composing and the lyrics and all that kind of stuff and the producing, you know?
Yeah. In the meanwhile, you guys released a live album, Live Lightning.
Yeah, we did that.
Mm-hmm. That was I mean, I really like that. I'm a live album fan in general. So like to hear those songs, I know you've done other ones, but
yeah,
that was good to at least have that out in the meantime, but between the things you did.
That's exactly what we did. We wanted to let everybody kind of know that we're back instead of just putting out a record and try to, you know, we put that one out a year in advance so people would know that we're back on the scene. And we started playing a lot of dates last year and everything like that. And then we went in the recording studio and recorded this album so that there'd be a couple of years of everybody getting used to the band being back together.
I mean, talk about this video for Wrecking Machine. Like it is in your face. It is, I mean, it is Babylon AD from like what you picture and what that those wonderful feelings that you had when the first time you heard the self-titled, like it just hits you hard. And the video, man, there's all sorts of crazy graphics and robots. And like, how did this concept for this video come about?
Well, you know, I wrote the song, and when I was writing the song, I kind of had the idea in my head of like, you know, because everyone's talking about this AI shit, you know, it's everywhere, you know. And so as I wrote the lyrics, I started thinking to myself, you know, these lyrics would fit an AI robot, like a hot chick maybe robot, you know. So the idea started forming in my head how it would go. And so we shot all the live stuff, and I at the exact same time, you know, a couple days before, I started looking through and digging up all the shots that I thought I would probably use for the back storyline of it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's awesome.
How it came about. Yeah,
it's awesome. I mean, you got the thing about this album, it's 11 tracks, very diverse, because that song is very in your face. It's very like the kid goes wild.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
And
then
you got songs like Crashed Into the Sun or, you know, Face of God that are, you know, more mid-tempo or more melodic. So was that kind of what you had in mind to kind of make more of a diverse album here?
You know, we didn't set out to do anything in particular except for just make a great album. So we ended up with having about 20 songs to choose from. And we chose what we thought would be best for this album. And we have another nine songs that are demoed. And there's probably about maybe four or five of those that can get on the next album. You know, we kind of grade them, you know, from like a one to five. And we let some of our friends and relatives that have been with the, you know everything about the band forever, we kind of go off their judgment and our judgment. And then we'll pick like what we think are the strongest tunes. But I think it's a lot diverse because I write basically, you know, all the melodies and all the lyrics and stuff like that. But the guys contribute music. So Ron has a different feel on his guitar than John does. And then also our newest members, Dylan Soto and Craig, the bass player, they also write too. So I have a big palette to draw from, whatever I, you know, as long as it stills my voice. In my mind, I think if it's my voice and it still sounds cool, you know, the music sounds cool, then it's Babylon AD. You know, that's the way I kind of think of it.
100%. Me as well. And that's why it feels and it hits so hard for me. Talk about your relationship with Paris Records, because right now, if you go to parisrecords.com/Babylon AD, you can pre-order the album. You can get a bundle, which includes like a shirt. It's a really cool deal you can get right now. And it's going to be cheaper if you go pre-order it right now than when it comes out. So do that. Right. But Paris Records, because from what I understand, you know, you weren't exactly thrilled with the way kind of things went with the last album, Revolution Highway, that was, I think, via Frontiers. And so do you feel like this is a better fit for you guys?
This is a much better fit because Frontier Records, you know, they're a great record label, but they've got 100 bands, man.
Right.
So it's just basically every month they throw out about 3 or 4 bands and they just kind of see if anything's going to stick. You know, it's like spaghetti on the wall. And if somehow you happen to stick, maybe they'll stay with you a little while. But Paris Records, I've known Tom for about 20 years. So he's the one that kind of convinced us to get back in the game by saying, hey, have you got any live stuff or any old demos or anything that you guys could put out? So that's how the whole idea started forming. Like, you know what? We do have some live stuff we could put out. And at the same time, we had been writing material before the COVID hit because we were going to do another record with Frontiers Records. And then COVID hit and that kind of stifled everything and slowed us all down, you know, and I just kept writing and writing and writing. And then Tom, like I said, when Tom approached us about the live album, we put that together knowing that we were going to do this album. I played him a few tracks of the demos that we were doing. He was like, man, this is going to be fantastic, you know? And, Tom is just, he's a great guy cause he's a go-getter, man. You know, he's got a good people around him and good company, and they're hungry, you know? So it's not like they're just laying back on their laurels and, you know, you're a label that has, you know, 100 bands and, you know, you just don't feel like you get all the attention that you think you should, you know?
It's hard. It is. And it's hard for me to kind of describe the excitement level for me as a fan when bands that I love release new music. I know that sounds very, very, you know, just a casual thing, but like there is not a lot of bands, from our era, from Babylon AD's era, that are your peers that consistently release new music. So to see it, it's very exciting. What does that say about you guys and the fan base that you've built over time that's still there, that's still diehard, that you can have a release like this and there can be an excitement for it and a market for it? That's got to make you feel pretty justified in what you do.
Yeah, it does. It makes you feel really good too, because you work really hard and you you write what you feel, but at the same time, you're always hoping, well, I hope everybody else likes it too. You know, you're never sure. You're never 100% sure, but all you have to do is go on your gut feeling, you know? And if that tells you, you know what, this song, like Record Machine's our first single, like we talked about a few minutes ago. And it was our gut feeling talking with our management team, and everybody's like, you know, this might not be the most catchiest, poppiest song, you know, but we've got like Sometimes Love Is Hell. It's a great ballad, you know, very desperate kind of thing. And then we've got Rome Wasn't Built in a Day, which is going to be our second single. And those songs have a lot of catchy, big, giant hooks. And this one, like you said before, is like Kid Goes Wild, right in your face, you know. So we kind of wanted to lead off with that and then transform into that. And it's just great that the fans have stuck with us all these years, you know. And it makes us, gets us inspired to keep wanting to do it. Keep, because I've got hundreds of ideas, so I want them to be released and get out there, you know what I mean? And as long as there's a fan base that digs it, then we're just going to keep going.
Do you feel like Babylon AD has any peers? Because for you guys, you know, coming out at the very end of the 80s and kind of being from the Bay Area, you weren't your typical, you know, 80s Sunset Strip band. You know, I think about maybe, you know, I know you guys toured with like Wildside a lot back. Mm-hmm. They played a lot of shows with them. Would you say like a band like Wildside, maybe Roxy Blue, who are some bands that you guys see kind of as peers, or as now that years go by, you do the Monsters of Rock cruises, you do all these shows that, you know, it all just kind of fits together and you're all just one big happy family as it is.
You know, I don't know what other bands are doing, to be honest with you. I know Extreme just put out a new album. You know, I know Sebastian Bach has a new album coming out, but I have no clue what anybody else is doing, because I guess I'm just focused on Babylon AD and focused on my own solo material so much. I'm in the recording studio probably 5 out of 7 days a week for 10 hours a day, you know, doing something, either doing the video stuff or writing new music or writing with somebody else. I'm writing with Dan De La Rosa, the guitar player that was in Babylon AD for 20 years for a project that him and I are doing. So I, to be honest with you, man, I can't give you a direct answer on that, because I don't know what the other bands are doing. I don't know if they've released anything or tour. I have no clue, man. All I know is what I'm doing.
Yeah, of course. And that completely makes sense. And have you guys been able to unveil any of these songs live yet? I know you guys have a show coming up May 18th, which will be like right as the album's coming out.
Yeah.
And then the Whiskey on June 7th. So have you had a chance to play anything live yet? And what songs are you most looking forward to kind of unveiling in a live setting?
Well, okay. So we've been testing out one of our songs. It's a really commercial type of song. It's called Looking for a Heartbeat. And it's very hooky. You know, it's kind of, to me, it reminds me of like if Journey and Boston got together or something. That's kind of what it reminds me of. You know, even, you know, and they put Shot of Love in there too. And somehow, you know, that's the only way I could describe it. You know, it's really melodical. We've been trying that one out at all of our gigs. And we knew that it was a great song that we were going to put on the record just because of the fans. And I would ask them after that, I'd announce, hey, this is a new song. We're thinking about putting on the new album. Let us know what you think, you know? And sure enough, man, every time we played it, everybody, by the time we hit the second chorus, they were singing right along with us. So we knew. And then we got all the feedback like that song's on the album for sure. So we've tested that song out. We're going to be playing 5 songs off the new album when we start playing out. But at the same time, we've got a lot to choose from. So, you know, a lot of fans remember the first album the most. So, of course, we're going to play Bangle the Bells, Hammer Swings Down, Desperate, Kid Goes Wild. We might play Shot of Love or Marianne, you know. But usually our set list is about maybe 13, 14 songs long. I think it's just going to be extended to about 16 or 17 now, you know.
That's like, hey, you know, when you get to that point in your career where it's hard to make a set list, you know you've done something right.
That, you know, I never thought about that, but I guess so, huh?
It's like, well, I don't know. Can we fit in a couple from this one? Or I don't know. Like, now we know what Iron Maiden goes through. I mean,
well, yeah, and there's a song that you want to play, you know, and you're like, well, man, where could this fit in the set? Because we got so many songs. What do we take out? You know, which one is better? Which you know, it's a hard decision sometimes when I'm writing the set.
There's a band that, you know, in a Firehouse that, you know, they won the debut album of the year 1991. They were another one of those bands that kind of, you know, came out at the very end of things. Yeah. And right as grunge was taking over. And obviously we just lost CJ Snare. I just wondered if you had any stories about CJ or had, you know, anything, if you ever met him.
No, to be honest with you, we played with those guys maybe about 4 or 5 times over the years, different venues and stuff like that. But I really never got to know them, you know, backstage, hanging out a little bit, things like that. But I to be honest with you, man, I really don't know those guys.
Yeah, it's just hard, you know. I think for me, because I, you know, came into this as a young dude whenever I was just, you know, learning MTV. And, you know, as I was in middle school and stuff, grunge was popular. And I went back and I found Van Halen. I found Kiss. I found you guys. That was always so to get, you know, to be 40 like I am now and to lose so many, you know, legends and so many have retired. I mean, Kiss has played their last show now, and it's just there. I don't know. There's a sobering thought about losing your heroes. You know, you could definitely relate to that, I'm sure.
My favorite band of all time that I grew up as a kid, anyways, I'd say the first 5 albums that made the most dent on me was Aerosmith.
Yeah,
you know, they're on their last tour. Yeah. This is it, and I'm gonna get a ticket to one of their shows for sure.
There you go.
Those guys were so inspiration to me, such an inspiration to me, especially Steven Tyler's vocal style and stuff like that. I mean, man, I tried to sing Back in the Saddle Again a million times when I was 15, you know, and my voice cracking and everything. So, yeah. You know, that and Montrose's first album had a very big impact on me, you know, growing up.
Oh, that's interesting. And whenever you play venues like the Whiskey, I don't know how many times you guys played it back in the day, but it's obviously such an iconic venue. You're going to be there June 7th. Is that a place that like elicits a certain you know, aura or memories for you?
Absolutely. I think I've played there probably about maybe 7 or 8 times, and as Babylon AD probably 4 or 5 times. But every time you get on that stage, you just got to say to yourself, man, I'm standing right where Jim Morrison stood. You know?
Yeah.
It just hits you. I mean, and everybody in the world that is with their salt has played there, you know, everybody. It's great that we could play there, man. I mean, a lot of people, I had a couple of people at the last time we played there said to me, you know, you guys should be playing a bigger place than this. And I looked at them like, are you freaking crazy, man? It doesn't matter the size of the place. This place is historic. You know what I mean? This is hollow ground, man, for rock and roll. I don't care about the size of the place. I care about, you know, who we're playing for and the people in the crowd. They know that they're here at a historic place, you know?
So true. I'm hoping to make it out to L.A. for that show. If not, you guys are going to be at the Monsters show. That's going to be insane too. In August, like August 24th, or they don't know. I don't think they have the days yet for every band, but that's when it starts. So, it's a big summer for you guys with this album and these shows. Like this is a big deal here.
Yeah, we've got a bunch of dates coming through right now too that we haven't even put on the list.
Ooh.
We've got some European stuff coming through. So it's going to be pretty busy, man. You know, we'll probably start announcing that stuff in the next 2 or 3 weeks. But there's only so much you could, you know. Right now, we're concentrating on this first single in the video.
Yeah.
You know? And then, you know, you kind of want news to keep dripping out maybe once a week or so, unless it's just all overkill in one day. You know.
I think it's awesome when I see this stuff and I'm getting these press releases. I'm just like, you know, set me up immediately because you guys have a place in my heart that's really hard to replicate. And I'll tell you, you know, personally, I'm sure you hear this a lot, but like as a kid, a child of the 80s, man, I was a sponge. I absorbed everything. I was such a huge, you know, RoboCop fan. And then the sequel comes out and then I hear the song, the kid goes wild. I'm like, I don't know what this is. I got to find out who that band is. Who the hell is that? And then I saw the video and I'm like, oh my God. Like it was just overkill. So, isn't it crazy to think that like a song in a movie can really turn the tide for somebody? That's really happens a lot. I think
I've heard that from quite a few people too. It's pretty weird that you say that. You're saying the same thing I've heard many times.
And that goes for Alice Cooper too. He did songs for this Friday the 13th movie, and like it just somehow those worlds collide. And back then, I feel like that was a thing. That the pop culture, the movies, everything kind of just was symbiotic. And I don't know. I just feel like now there's nothing memorable. nothing's original, and I'm not into it. And I feel old saying that.
Instead of 15 minutes of fame, you got 15 seconds of
exactly.
fame.
I don't know the world we live in. I feel old saying all this, but like I just relate to that time period and to what you guys created.
I say the same thing sometimes. My wife said, "You sound old." And I'm like, "What do you mean I sound old? I don't sound old, man. This is the truth I'm speaking, you know?"
It is. Yeah, I'd say that this was the best time to grow up. It's the best time to be young was in the 70s and into the 80s. I feel like I should be about 55 to 60 right now. That was like, I missed my time, but that was to me the best time. It's irrefutable. You guys went through it all. You guys were young when all the wonderful, the bands came out in the 70s and in the 60s, and then created what the 80s became.
That's
Nintendo,
true.
Pop culture, movies.
Yeah.
And now you got to learn how to text and use Zoom. I mean, you've been through it all.
You got to say, what is this thing? It's a computer. What does it do?
and so that's why you guys are the World War II generation. That is, of course, they're the best among it, the best generation. But you guys right up there for me. So
thank you, man.
Derek, you talk about just you produced, mixed, engineered this album.
Yeah.
Just you last back in the day, you guys worked with, you know, greats like Tom Orman, but like you, how did you kind of take on this role? And like, did you just feel like you learned so much over the years from being in studios that you felt like you could really, you know, be that hands on with an album?
I have a picture of me when I was 7 years old. And for Christmas, I got my first tape recorder and it was a reel to reel. And I started recording then, honest to God, you can ask my parents. I started recording right then. And then it was, you know, 2-track, then it was 4-track, a little TAG, then it was 8-track, then it was 16-track, then it was 24-track, and now it's, you know, multi-track. So I've always recorded. And I've been writing for, you know, since I was, I think, maybe 15, you know, writing lyrics and writing songs and, you know, composing. So it's not a hard jump for me. The best thing for me, I think, was learning when watching the producers and watching the engineers that we work with on the first two albums, and basically I was there every day, no matter what, if I sang or not, I was there every day from the time they got there to the time they left, and I watched everything and I asked tons of questions, and the best compliment I ever got was from Tom Werman, and we were done with our album, and we were sitting in the studio at the studio console board with the speakers on, one of the songs just went off and it was late at night. And I remember he looked over at me, he goes, "You know, Derek," he goes, "I've recorded, man, you know, I've worked with tons of artists, man, you know me." He goes, "And I never co-produced with anybody." He goes, "But I would co-produce with you. And I'd probably co-produce with Nikki Sixx. You guys are the only guys I think have the ear that could do it." I tell you what, I was blown away. Cause Tom Werman for me was like, you know how you said, like, whenever you saw the movie RoboCop and you went, "Well, who's that band?" Well, I used to look on the back of albums. Well, who produced this?
Right.
How did this get made? And I would see Tom Werman on Cheap Trick, The Babies, you know, Ted Nugent. I was like, "I want that guy." So even when we got our first record deal, they said, "You guys have anybody in mind to produce your first album?" I'm like, "Tom Werman." "Oh, but he's too busy, right? He's like a year and a half out." So the whole time, all we did was bug him to get him on the second album and basically work around his schedule. Cause he was, you know, he's doing Motley Crue and, you know, so that was the thing for me where I knew, like, well, if he thinks I could produce with him, then I could produce anything with any, you know, anybody, you know what I mean? And I started producing with different bands and stuff like that after that too.
Which is tremendous. And it really, the production value is really, I think, very high here on Rome Wasn't Built in the Day. And I think that, talk about the cover, because you got like Caesar blowing a bubble, but you got this black kind of stitchy back, like textured background, but you got that familiar Babylon AD logo. Like, are you involved with that, the artistic side of this too? I mean, how'd you come up with that?
Yep, I did that too. And I do all the videos. I've done all of our videos.
Looks like you're still editing the one back there. Looks like you still got the Wrecking Machine one was back there. I saw a robot on there.
That one, the Rome Wasn't Built in a Day video, I just got done editing about 3 days ago. Man, it's fantastic. I think it's better than this one myself. I don't know what everybody else is going to think. It is really super cool, man.
This is really the beginning of what's going to an amazingly busy, fun, outrageous summer for you and you got in the band. Like this is really cool. And the fact that there is such a demand, the fact that there's people that are clamoring for this, I mean, I think it says a lot about the music you guys created, the legacy that you have. It has to really hit home that, like, man, there is a major audience for this. And you know, that's not the case. Every band doesn't get that.
Yeah.
Far into their career. So that has to be feel good.
Yeah. And you got to make sure that you have some good material too. Cause we could have just put out a turd and just say, hey, we got on a great album and have one good song, but you know, I wouldn't want to do that. You know,
of course
you got to set a standard, you know?
You know, I love focusing on the new stuff and it's great. I want to ask you about kind of the genesis of the band, as of course the self-titled comes out in 1989. It was so impactful. How did your, like, you personally and kind of the band, your life changed all of a sudden when the release happens? You've got Bang Go the Bells come out, you've got The Kid Goes Wild, you're on MTV, you're playing shows. I mean, was it just like a whirlwind? Was it hard to even like really understand what was happening in the business side of things at the time?
Pretty much. You get swallowed up, you know, on the business side. It kind of takes a background and you let other people handle the business. But like the old saying goes, if you want something done right, you do it yourself. Kind of like the Gene Simmons idea, right? Because I got to tell you, man, there's a lot of vultures out there and a lot of sharks, man. And we were young kids and we learned fast that, you know, you could get screwed in this business really fast, man. You know, and we come from a place where outside Oakland, California, where it's kind of like your word is your bond, man, and, you know, or you kick the dude's ass if he lies to you or whatever. But in the business world, man, they could stab you in the back. There ain't shit you could do, you know. So we learned that kind of stuff that really sucked. And basically that was kind of one of the reasons where after we did the second album and we got dropped, we didn't really pursue like, let's do another album on our own like some of the bands did. We were so defeated from the record company business side. It was like, what's the point kind of thing? What does it matter? You know, it doesn't matter if you have the best song in the world because these other people are going to screw you somehow. You know, these leeches and stuff that just leech on in the business, man. But so, I mean, it was a learning experience on that side. But at the same time, the band was having so much fun. I mean, it was a whirlwind, man. It was mayhem. I mean, every single day, every single hour was jam-packed with stuff. And sometimes you got a little out of breath, man. You couldn't catch up, you know, because there was so much shit going on, man, you know. Not to say I wouldn't like to be back there again, but I don't know if I could be on the road for 6 months in a row and, you know, have to do like I'm doing an interview with right now. Well, back then I'd do like 3 or 4 interviews. They weren't these type of interviews, but they're phone interviews or going to the radio station and then doing your sound check, then playing a gig. And then when you get off the show, what do you want to do? You want to party, right? So here you are with the bus full of chicks and you're partying, you know, and then you do it all over again every single day, at least 6 days a week, you know?
God, I missed it. I miss my time. I miss my calling. I'm born too late. I miss so many things, Derek. I feel like I could have really, had some fun myself back then, and I just have to live vicariously through you guys and go back and watch the documentaries and the videos and the behind the musics and all. That's where I like can live it all through. Yeah,
sure, every band like that came out around that time. I know a lot of cats that have a lot of good stories. But you know what's funny is I've got a lot of friends that work for, I'm not going to tell you who, but a couple big bands. They never had any of that shit, and I'm like, what are you talking about? And then they guys work for us and then they work for these bigger bands and they'll tell them stories. They go, what? They did that kind of stuff. And we're thinking like, you know, my whole idea was like, I read the book, like Led Zeppelin's book, you know, the Rolling Stones book and the guys in my bands, you know, or Motley, you know, we kind of lived like Guns N' Roses, Motley Crue did, but a lot of bands, man, believe it or not, they were just straight laced, just business the whole time. You know what I mean? And it's maybe hard. That's why they were, got bigger and made it through, you know. But us, it was like, you know, we just had a fucking massive party 90% of the time, you know, and we kind of let the business side screw us, you know?
Well, it's onward and upward for you guys. And again, before we let you go, we hit you with our final four drum roll, which is four quick questions. You give us whatever comes to mind. And again, ParisRecords.com/BabylonAD. You can pre-order the album right now. And I sure hope that you guys will do that. BabylonADband.com. You can also get there and check out all the dates. So final four drum roll. First question, what is the first concert you ever attended?
Fleetwood Mac, Winterland.
Amazing. That's an amazing one. I'm lost for words.
I was on acid, so I don't remember much of it, except there was a lot of girls that had blonde hair and wearing white.
Yeah, that's it.
I sat in the very back.
You were in the right place. Yeah, that was it. what's the first album that you either bought with your own money or stole from someone?
First album, I think, was Let It Be by the Beatles.
Mm.
I think I was in the third grade.
What's the last concert you attended just as a fan?
Rod Stewart, about maybe 3 weeks ago. And man, wow. he was great. It blew me away. I got to tell you, I love Cheap Trick, but man, it was sad watching those guys compared to Rod Stewart.
Really?
Yeah, I was blown away because I've seen Cheap Trick many times and they couldn't even get in the room with Rod Stewart. Rod Stewart was awesome. I can't believe that he's Joe Biden's age and running around that stage and singing like crazy. I'm like, wow, this is amazing, man.
That is the greatest comparison I've ever heard. So yeah, that's hilarious.
That's all I kept thinking is like, he's 81, Biden's 81. What the hell's going on here?
I'm a bigger Rod Stewart fan, to be honest. But okay, this will be a good one. You can you're the singer, you're the front man for one band, living or dead, of all time. But the caveat being, you have to know in your heart that you can pull the songs off live and the crowd will still like you.
Hmm. Jeez, that's a tough one, man. That's a really tough one.
Or it's at least passable. Like, hey, you know.
You could pass it off, maybe?
You could pass it off, yeah.
Maybe the Faces.
Nice.
You know,
okay.
I think I could impersonate Rod Stewart pretty good.
Yeah, there you go. It's all full circle right there. That's a full circle moment. Yeah, let's work on that. Make that happen. Rock,
man. You know, I listen to Faces all the time still. It's so weird that I still listen to all that old shit.
I love that musical diversity that you have because it really shows up and that's really respectable. Derek, I'm so excited. Babylon AD all summer long. I'm going to get to one of these shows. You'll see me somewhere. Damn it. Cool. I have to do it because I love the band. I love the new album. Best of luck. This is going to be great. Big summer. Stay cool. Stay busy. And stay safe, my friend. We'll talk soon.
All right, brother. Thank you.
You bet. Bye-bye. Thank you.